And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Maxa in the focus of the hurricane here in brutal San Diego here. Not. Anyway, we have a great show for you here live from the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup. Captain Dylan Reed from Bite Sport Fishing is here. We're going to be talking some serious fishing, swordfish, bluefin, yellowfin, and a lot more. You stay tuned. This is Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
You've heard all about it. You know the angler's catching fish habit, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish-finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I got super pumped to have Dylan in today.
Yeah.
Today's going to be a cool show.
Yeah. Good morning, Dylan.
Yeah, good to have you, bro.
Great to have you. So the good news about today is so far a little bit of rain, not much. I'm supposed to get a little bit of wind, but...
If you look hard enough right now, there's a palm tree frond that is moving...
No.
A little bit.
Really?
Yeah, there's six inches of movement on that.
A little bit there.
Not enough to move a flag yet, but you know.
The best news is they canceled half marathon.
That was the best news of all,
yeah. Right?
So at the world headquarters, like we're right on the water here in front of Fisherman's Landing, the big landings, but like every time there's a marathon or triathlon or whatever, like they all run in front of the road here and like... And you better be
close the streets.
Exactly. You better be early to get here. Otherwise, they just look at you and be like, I don't know, my street's closed. I don't know what to tell you. I'm like, man, I got to go to work right now.
Yeah, it's not happening. Well, I mean, you look here overlooking Fisherman's Landing, Point Loma Sport Fishing, all long-range boats are here.
Yeah.
And everybody's unloading. So can you imagine trying to get unloaded and all the passengers unloaded when they have all the streets closed?
Yeah, it sucks.
So it worked. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Mother Nature, for canceling the marathon.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. But, hey, one thing that's not canceled is the fishing. The fishing is really, really good right now. Right, Dylan?
Yeah. The prefrontal barometer drops. Like they... Largemouth bass guys follow that stuff. Swordfish guys follow it. And it sounds like there was some really good tuna fishing yesterday. So
yeah,
hopefully that triggered that.
Yeah, San Diego just cleaned up on local bluefin. I know the boats Sea Watch was out, and Fred Huber and on the Mission Bell, and
it was good
fishing
and flat, calm, beautiful. You know, I mean, we all joke about it, but it was a storm. Like, no doubt, everybody's in for good reason and precaution and everything. But man, yesterday was like. That was the day. It was flat, calm, and beautiful. And it seemed like it was kind of, you know, it did what bluefin do sometimes. It kind of seemed like it floated everywhere. I had no idea where the local, you know, full-day fleet had that great fishing. But we heard from, you know, we heard from the Independence yesterday, and we heard from the Tribute. I mean, it was really good fishing out on the bank, too. It just seemed like it was one of those days where it bit everywhere it was at.
Yeah. And yellowfin mixed in, too.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. We like that. So what's your focus with Bite Sport Fishing work with Brandon? And Hayward and the great crew over there, your focus is what, Dylan?
During the summer, I primarily work relief trips for the other guys. You know, they kind of grind it out full time, and I kind of slide in and work a couple days here and there for wherever needed, mainly down here in San Diego fishing either the local, you know, yellowtail and small tuna, or when we're running the kite trips for bluefin. And then about this time of year, we transition into the swordfish, which is obviously my favorite.
That's your thing, right?
Do people fight over having Dylan running the trip at this point for sword fishing?
You know, the Mexicat fame kind of... yes and no. I mean, all the bike captains are super talented.
No doubt. Yeah.
And, you know, we all have our little knacks we put on all the different fisheries, whether it's bluefin or swordfish. And I, you know, I think yours could be successful with any of us. And in that regard, you know, we all bring a lot to the table for swordfish.
No doubt.
Well, we've seen you on social media in the Mexicat, you call it, right? How big is that boat?
It's 14 feet.
14 feet. And you can catch 300-pound swordfish on that thing.
My biggest one last year was a 247.
Okay. We didn't quite a bit under.
Keep it
honest. Yeah. 247.
We're trying to make a big deal out of this.
On a 14-foot skiff.
That's correct.
That's so
holy
rad, dude.
Mackerel. So what is the deal with swordfish? Why? What makes it... What makes you
crazy.
So good? Yeah.
You know, I grew up here in Point Loma, and just as a kid, walking the docks and stuff, you know, we had plank boats around, and, you know, kind of idolized the commercial guys for doing what they do. And whenever we came across a swordfish as a kid, you know, we'd always bait it, and usually they'd never
catch it,
any interest. And so it was like this kind of majestic billfish that was uncatchable. It was like the unobtainable thing, and they're obviously really good to eat, and... as the deep drop techniques started coming to fruition here on the West Coast, you know, obviously that kind of broke down the door for recreational anglers to be able to have a legit opportunity at hooking and catching one of those fish. So it's just a super special thing to be a part of, and we have a long way to go and a lot to learn about it.
It's so cool that you guys, you said it best. I mean, it's brand new, and we're still learning it, and anybody who thinks they have it figured out, like, well, man, it's way too early in the game, but... Man, if there's somebody that's got a good handle on it, it's you and the entire team at Bite. But it's so cool that, you know, it develops every year, and we'll learn a little bit more and a little different technique and a little different wrinkle. And, you know, you start. It's very cool for somebody that's been around that fish all the time to really be a part of the main. We're starting to put the puzzle pieces together. No way is it complete, but, you know, you get to be in the main part of starting to figure things out.
Definitely. I feel like maybe even more so than... other fisheries that we have, we're just getting thrown a lot of curveballs, and stuff that worked last year doesn't work this year, and, you know, stuff that works for one guy doesn't work for another guy, and it's been really difficult. You know, the fish are really unique fish to fish, and they act, you know, differently, and it can be really tricky to pin down what techniques are working the best. And, you know, we have the basics, but
it's cool to see how it's coming together too. And I think it was like a perfect storm that made it so popular. Is that in the first year that there was a lot of that, you know, everybody said, okay, this is a real thing. It coincided with what was clearly a fantastic year for volume of those fish around too. And, you know, had those two things not collided the year that guys start to figure it out, I don't know that it would have been as popular as it has become. You know, that first year that everybody's like, okay, man, if you drop a bait
there
down,
were a lot of bites.
There was a ton of bites to be had, you know, and then in the years that have followed, there have been maybe not as good a fish in. And
totally.
So now you really do have to figure things out a lot more.
Some of the guys getting into it that first year, you know, could go out and get a bite almost every time or two bites in a day. And since then, there's guys that are getting into it and, you know, they go 12, 15 times and don't get a bite or only get one or two bites.
I can relate to that.
It's demanding. It takes a lot of patience. It's not for everybody. You know, a lot of people do 1 4-hour drift and they're just not into it. You know, for me to go spend a couple days drifting to get one bite and have a legit chance at hooking a fish like that is a small...
A couple of days and how many hours?
I mean, I'll fish sun up to sundown.
Wow.
You know, and a lot of times that's maneuvering around and trying to figure out where to set up and, you know, where to fish and stuff. But other days it looks good right away and you have baits in the water for, you know, 8 hours or more.
So what do you look for?
You know, we're trying to figure that out. There's a number of signs, you know, we're studying our depth and, fish finders for, deep bait, DSL. There's a number of ways that can read on a fish finder and how that correlates to whether there's fish in the area. You know, there's some days that we mark a lot of deep bait and we have good fishing, and there's other days where we have a lot of deep bait and we don't hook any fish. And then we'll go to a new area, and we'll have a blue screen like nothing, and we'll hook one. And so we get, it's tough. But
that's what's got to be fun of it, too. Like, that's got to be part of the draw is, you know, if you have a fishery figured out, and the generations before you have it figured out, and you know if you set up in this place and these three conditions are not present, you already know you're not going to catch one.
Totally.
And sword fishing is not that way yet. You know, like you said, you pull into a place that's got a blue screen and a new, like, well, the depth in the water, let's just try. Oh, we got one. You know what I mean? Like, there's the element of the unknown that's so cool.
Definitely. It's been tricky to figure it out. People have been asking me a lot the last couple of years, you know, about, oh, what do you do? How do you do this? What, you know, and it's like, all we really know is you have to have a bait and a light and be plus or minus 1,000 feet.
Right.
You could be 1,200 feet, 1,400 feet. You could be 600 feet. Like, literally anywhere in there,
wow.
You have a legit chance, you know,
to
like the commercial guys fish at 1,000. That's like our baseline. Like, we kind of know that the fish spend a lot of time around that range.
That range.
You know,
so for your bait's at 1,000.
Your bait is at 1,000 feet, plus or minus.
And how deep is the water?
A light on your line. It could be anywhere from 1,000. Like, so you're fishing almost right on the bottom to, 3,000, 4,000, 6,000.
Really?
You know, like I think us, and I say that as a generalization and recreational fishermen, are scared to fish in deeper water where there's less structure. You know, we're so oriented on it's this bank.
Yeah.
It's related to this bank.
It has to be this part of the nine.
Exactly. Like, and we'll be set up on the nine, and a buoy set guy goes and sets out basically in the trench where there's no bottom
and
catch 3,500 feet, you know, and sets his gear outside of you, and you're just like, well, he saw something that made him think it was worth it. So we're learning a lot about the water that you want to set up in. And
so you've caught fish in 3,500 feet and you've caught fish in 1,000 feet of water.
Yep.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And what's the bait of choice?
We're all pretty much sticking with squid still. It's one of sword fish's favorite foods, and it's what the commercial guys fish with. There's been fish caught on the belly strip, which is a popular technique bait in other areas of the world. I fished it a little bit, and I've had bites on it. I just haven't had a fish stick, so I'm trying to gain confidence in it.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's going to have a good place in our fishery when there's like lots of squid, wild squid out in our waters.
Mm-hmm.
They'll attack your squid bait and you'll just start blowing through your baits.
Sure.
And the rigging process is kind of intensive and the baits are expensive, so if you're blowing through 6 or 8 baits a day,
that's a great point.
Annoying. Where they won't mess with the belly strip as much, or they can't mess with it as much.
Okay.
You know?
Gotcha.
So
right now it's a luxury of not having the nuisance around that you can still fish with the bait of choice.
Yeah, it seemed like last winter we didn't have as much of a squid issue, or last fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like every once in a while you'd wind in your bait and it's pecked up with other squids marks and you're kind of bummed, but it wasn't, I think it was like 2 years ago we were blowing through a lot.
Got it. Okay.
About
And was that a good year? I mean, were there a lot of swordfish around?
We did good that year. It was tough. I feel like I heard a lot of the commercial guys kind of having tough seasons that year, but it seemed like we kind of had a little pocket of fish that we were on and able to work with all the way until like Christmas. I think we had like 19 fish that year.
19 swordfish.
That's crazy.
For the business.
Yeah. That's great. You guys do such a good job.
And when does your season start for swordfish?
I was talking to Brandon about it the other day. I think our first legit... Oh, well, we already ran an open party trip, so it's already started.
But we have, so they're around.
Yeah, I mean, they've been seeing them, you know, flaggers and signs of swordfish from the Channel Islands down to Baja for the last 2 or 3 months. It's been like June, you know, guys, like, hey, I saw a flagger. And, you know, there's been some days where guys see multiple flaggers.
Flagger is a swordfish on the surface.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's definitely some fish around. It's just kind of filtering in, I feel like, and hopefully that volume kind of grows into something that we had in 2019. And I think the next time we have that sort of volume in Southern California, we're going to be a lot more prepared for it, and hopefully we'll have really good ratios as far as days we can get a bite and bites we can convert into fish on the deck.
Yeah. So you guys at Bite Sport Fishing actually do swordfish trips. Like, you can book a trip to go swordfish fishing with the master, Dylan.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Learn a lot of stuff.
We start basically already started, and as fall ensues, that's usually when we see the biggest volume of fish, kind of.
The fall, like October, November?
Yeah, historically October, November have kind of been the heart of the season. Like I said, all the way into December, and I think you'd have legit chances a lot of years into January and February. I wanted to fish January and February last year, but after the holidays, we just got all that weather and rain, and it was really hard to find fishable days.
Right.
Where usually, you know, October, November is also coinciding with beautiful weather a lot of the time. So it's definitely one of my favorite times to fish, whether it's bluefin or swords, the falls.
Yeah. Is there, do they bite on a particular moon phase, or does it really matter?
We've been trying to correlate that. You know, it depends on who you talk to, and, you know, all the gurus, whether it's the commercial guys or guys, you know, from Florida and stuff that have been doing this for decades, all have their little favorite times of moon phase and stuff. I like to fish around the new and full moons, just because there's big tide swings and there's a lot of water moving around. But, you know, well, traditionally it's supposed to be like slower, as far as the commercial guys say, just like after the full moon, you know, that like week after the full moon's kind of slow. And then, you know, we'll just have a bite trip. Someone wants to go, so we're going to take them and we'll get one.
Right.
Where the week leading up, we didn't get a bite or something.
Yeah.
So it's
there. You can't predict it. Just like bluefin fishing or yellowfin fishing. It's like, you just can't say, people, oh, I want to go the week before the full moon, you know, and it bites like after the moon, or like in the middle of the phase.
Absolutely. Last year is a prime example for it. I think the best fishing we had was on that moon phase that's supposed to be not as hot,
yeah,
you know, like kind of after the full, in between full and moon. And it was when like our bulk volume kind of hit the nine, and there was like lots of bites going down and people hooking fish and stuff. So there you go.
It just depends on when the fish are here.
Yeah. You just gotta go.
Yeah,
you gotta get that.
Gotta go.
Bait and light in front of a fish, and if you do that, you're probably gonna get a bite.
As you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today.
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, so lucky to have Dylan in here. I mean, such a wealth of knowledge, not only on swordfish, which I know runs his passion, but just all the tuna fishing and great fishing that he's seen over the years. And we're just very lucky and stoked that you're spending a couple hours with this, man. It's going to be
awesome.
A lot of fun.
Yes.
And, we're looking we're looking forward to talking to you, man. If you want to be a part of Let's Talk Hookup this morning, give us a call at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090 is how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup. Or you can send us a text, the text the show option, so popular here on Let's Talk Hookup. Again, only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app, which is a free download, the easiest way to listen and participate on Let's Talk Hookup, and the only way to text in your questions to Dylan from Bite Sport Fishing. Make sure, too, that when you send a text, you include your contact info because we are giving away a killer prize at the end of the show today. And if you happen to be the big winner, we want to make sure to get it to you. Somebody's going to get to go fishing on a full-day trip on board the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing, a really killer prize for one lucky caller or texter at the end of the show today. And the way we're going to determine that is at the end of the show, we're going to flip a coin. Dylan's going to flip the coin, and it's going to decide whether the winner comes from the caller side or the texter side. And speaking of that good fishing at a Fisherman's Landing, Carl just sent me a text. We were talking about how good the fishing was yesterday. An overnight trip to the Pacific Don Ran. Not a two-day, not a three-day, not a day and a half. An overnight trip yesterday. Came back in this morning, came back last night, rather. 81 yellowfin tuna, 23 bluefin tuna, 38 Dorado, 37 yellowtail.
Holy mackerel.
For 19 guys.
For 19?
Yeah, for 19 guys on an overnight trip.
Holy mackerel.
That's fun.
Wow.
Fishing. That was the speed of fishing yesterday.
That's how good it's been. Yeah.
Really, really cool. So there's some great stuff going on. And again, if you want to join us this morning, we're very lucky to have a guy like Dylan in here. This is going to be a great show with really good info. One more time, 213-432-1090, or shoot us a text on that Let's Talk Hookup app. And when we come back, we're going to be taking those phone calls. Lots of great info coming your way. You stay tuned. This is Southern California's sport fishing voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Rock Cod Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Truett West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it: fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery, and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guest names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
When you plan your next tuna trip, be sure to select the right boat. And in San Diego, that's the Tomahawk. The Tomahawk is captained and owned by 20-year veteran Dave Ibrahim. Dave is highly skilled and will put you on the fish. The newly refurbished Tomahawk is the perfect platform to target bluefin tuna. Large deck space, oversized galley, comfortable bunk room, tons of bait capacity, and a massive refrigerated fish hold are just some of the reasons why. So next time you plan your fishing adventure, plan to fish with the Tomahawk at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. You'll be stoked you did.
Hi, this is Dwayne Diego from Pinnacle Sport Fishing, and I love my Costa Del Mar sunglasses. You cannot beat the 580G lenses and the killer frames that they come with. The 580G lenses are by far the most clear and durable, scratch-resistant lenses I've ever used. And I'm far from easy on my equipment. We use it day in and day out, and having that scratch resistance that they have is a game changer for us. I rely on my Costa Del Mars every day. They take care of my eyes and help see what's out there. For more information, you can check out CostaSunglasses.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Again, having a great time here this morning. Phones are getting packed up. If you want to join us one more time, 213-432-1090.
All right, let's jump into the phones. They're packing up. Let's. They want to win a... Who would not want to go on the Liberty right now?
Yeah, right? Here and fishing like that. Right. Well, I'm more so looking forward to picking Dylan's brain, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're starting off with Rob this morning. Called us from Oceanside. What's up, Rob? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Thanks for getting us started.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show so far. I've got a question about preparation of fish. So you guys obviously know that everybody, when we go out and catch fish, we bring it back and we're like, what are we going to do with this stuff? I've canned my bluefin tuna this year and preserved it that way. I've also had dry-aged bluefin tuna from Tommy Gomes. What do you guys do with your fish when you bring it back? What are your favorite things?
What do you do, Dylan?
Give it away fresh to all your friends and family, neighbors, the best way to, and then you have an excuse to go again.
There you go. I like that. Yeah. I mean, I know we eat a lot of fish in our house, and I mean, Lolly, my wife, is a great cook, and she prepares it in so many different ways. But I have a kind of a special treat for you. Next Sunday, 1 week from today, we're going to have Jeff Roberto from Sushi on a Roll.
Cool.
Right on. He's going to talk about fish prep. He's going to talk about care of fish. He's going to talk about, you know, making sushi out of it and,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff. Jeff's a wealth of knowledge. He's a great chef, and he'll have a lot of good information. So that's 1 week from today. It'll be good stuff. What do you like doing with your fish?
With Dylan, with tuna fish, I'm the same thing with Dylan. I just I learned over the years that that's one fish that I am not good at pulling out of the freezer. Like, you know, other stuff like halibut and cod and all that kind of stuff, no problem pulling it out of the freezer. Swordfish all the time, keep so well. But tuna, we just don't do a good job at our house. It seems like when that hits the freezer for us, we don't do as good a job as we should taking it out. So tuna, I just like really limit the amount that I snag, and I really like to eat it fresh. Like fresh poke and sashimi and that kind of stuff, we love it at our house, and we eat it a lot, but it seems like the freezer is just like the wasteland for us when it comes to tuna fish. We pull other fish out of the freezer all the time, so I'm fresh on that, and I just try to treat it the same way. Like, I don't keep a ton. I love stoking friends out that are in that same. So tuna, I'm a fresh, and then everything else, we're just for the pretty standard, you know, I'm a fisherman's processing backpack guy. And
yeah. Well, I got to tell you, if you send your fish to Fisherman's Processing and have it vacuum packed, especially in the 5-mil bags, even tuna,
whether it be
bluefin or yellowfin, you put it in the freezer, you pull it out. I mean, it'll stay for a year, but I mean, I'm kind of like within the first month kind of thing in the freezer.
Totally.
But pull it out of the freezer, like Sean's always said, and you wrap it. You pull it out of the package, frozen, wrap it in paper towels, and put it in the refrigerator for 24 hours and let it thaw, and it sucks all that moisture out of there. And I'm going to tell you, it is almost as good as fresh.
No doubt. Yeah, like
no,
I said.
Nothing is better than fresh. But
sure.
If you do that prep out of the freezer like Sean taught us, with wrapping it in the paper towels and then letting it thaw in the paper towels, sucking all that moisture out, it's amazing.
Letting it thaw slow and proper is so
right.
The deal too. The biggest problem is the raddest problem that exists is there's been so much fish this year, and I can't tell you how many countless buds have gone on a trip and then they see what, you know, their limit of 2 100-pounders looks like when they get it back from fishing processing, and everybody crews back to the shop like, hey man, does anybody want a chunk of this? Like, I don't have room in the freezer, and so the access to like a single chunk of RSW Fisherman's Processing bluefin has been so high the last couple of years. It's like, yeah, I'll slide one of those my way there, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. Spoiler, for sure. Hey, hope that helps you out. Hey, thanks. It's a good problem.
That's a great problem.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call this morning. I've got a great text from our buddy Corey in Escondido, and he says, good morning, guys. Super stoked to hear Captain's take on what he thinks this storm is going to push up into our local waters. With that whack of day, full-day boats put on the pelagics yesterday before they tied up for a couple days, what do you think we might find offshore in the next couple of weeks? And do you think that Hillary will bring us some wahoo?
No. That's just my thought. I'm hoping yellowfin, though. It was cool, that stuff. There was some yellowfin around a few weeks ago, and then it was kind of MIA for a little bit, and it sounds like there was some really good yellowfin fishing yesterday, and it's cool to see that this time of year. This is usually when we would expect to see that, August, September.
Right.
And that's exciting. We haven't had, like, a really good yellowfin year in a while, so I think that would stoke a lot of people out.
Absolutely.
One thing that, you know, to hop on with that is the long-range fleet, you know, quite a ways below us, you know, below where we could comfortably get on a day-and-a-half trip, has seen some tremendous yellowfin. The stuff that we love, you know, nice, big school-size ones. Not giants, but like a true 20 to 25-pound average with 40-pounders and that kind of, and like tremendous fishing. You know, several guys have talked about, like, man, it's it's a little too good in that, you know, in one day you catch all that you can catch, and you got to do something the rest of the time, kind of thing. And it would sure be cool to see that fish just make the slide up the beach and get into our local zone, because
oh yeah,
there sounds like there's a tremendous volume
down
there.
Well, it sounds like it did yesterday.
I know, right?
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
well, I think that we're gonna have a really good late summer
September,
and fall.
October.
I really, really
oh,
do.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think it's gonna be a fun one.
Book your trips. Keep on going. Hey, let's head south, where it's always good times. And that's Rancho Leonero, and we have John Ireland on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Pete. Hello, Rick. Captain.
Hey, John.
Hey, so, Hillary, what happened down there?
Well, Hillary, it was a miss for us, you know, which is a good thing. We had some light rain, not light rain, medium rain, and very, very light winds, and it just passed us by. I'm up here in San Diego with you guys, and so now I get the double whammy. Both of my houses
lucky
at risk. It was, like I say, light winds and all that, and not much to speak of. But we're lucky because it's a big storm. It should be interesting to see what happens up here, that's for sure. That's for sure. We had a good week, 88 to 90 degree water now, real, real warm out in front. We're really glad that storm didn't come into the Sea of Cortez, that's for sure. Dorado's been the ticket. Man, lots and lots of Dorado right in front of the hotel. And I'm talking about right in front of the hotel, from 400 or 500 yards off the beach, spread both north and south, 3 or 4 miles. And the boats are not going very far. Everyone's limiting. Average fish is 7 to 15 pounders, some bulls to 45 pound. they like to troll ballyhoo, you know, hoochies, tuna feathers are all working really well. A lot of Dorado around, and that's been the main ticket. Everybody's just been going out and limiting on them. Further south, off the White Cliffs, which is south of Fraley's, down by Vinaramas, Punta Perfecta there, they're catching big tuna on the bottom, mostly on squid and bouncing iron off the bottom, and about 100 to 150 feet of water. And the fish they're catching there, 30 to 40 pounders, some nice fish. No, but normally one or two per boat. A lot of striped marlin around. Striped marlin are biting as usual off the banks, in particular off of Punta Colorado. Seems to be a real good bite out there. So, and the boats have been getting out. You know, we sent our last boats out Friday, and we expect to have our boats back in the water and fishing again tomorrow. So we only got like 2 or 3 days of non-fishing, which is a good thing for us. So overall, we dodged another bullet, you guys. Let's hope that continues for the rest of the year.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it's, with that warm water, you know there's going to be more coming, right?
Yeah, you see another one down below, too. You know, they're talking about it forming up. It's just that time of year, August and September. No fun for John, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, you know, time is winding down. It's all over in November. So you want to go to Rancho Leonero? How do we get a hold of you, John?
Thanks, Pete. Yeah, we are filling up for sure. 800-646-2252 or RanchoLeonero.com.
All right. Thanks for the report, John. Glad it missed, and we will talk to you next Sunday.
You sure will, gentlemen. Good luck up here in San Diego.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Appreciate that very much. All right. You have a good text, you said, right?
Yeah, I thought so. It says, this is from John in Rancho San Diego. And it says, great to hear Captain Dylan this morning. I love fishing with Dylan and Bite Sport Fishing. Hey, Dylan, can you give us your thoughts on using artificial flyers versus the frozen or dead ones? Am I at a big disadvantage if I'm using the slipstream flyer from Nomad? That's from John in Rancho San Diego.
We don't use the slipstream a lot. We have California flyers on all of our boats. Just that kind of hit the market first, and we got started using those.
And it works really good.
Those work really
good.
Yeah,
they work, yeah.
You know, there's some days where the tuna are kind of blowing up your dead flying fish and not getting the hooks a lot. And then when you switch over to the California, the artificial flyer, it helps kind of conserve bait. And when they blow it up and its wings stay intact, they can kind of hit it repeatedly until you hook one. When the fishing's like really good, we still love the dead flyer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to beat, and you know, when they really want it, it's a super one, fun way to fish.
This year seems like there's been a lot of hits and misses, right? Going through a lot of baits. There's a lot of...
Yeah, depending on the kind of the phase the fish are going through. Yeah. Or
why is that?
Schools, it's hard to say. You know, sometimes you'll be baiting spots, and, man, they're just committing to the flyer, and they just choke the bait down. You're getting both hooks way deep in the throat. And then there's other days where they just kind of knock it around and, like, roll next to it or kind of behind it.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of
drives you crazy.
It can, yeah.
It's funny when fishing is that way, when they're not committing to it, hearing different people's opinion on things. And this came up at the shop the other day when we were getting a load of flyers from Terry from Karma Flyers. I mean, like, arguably the best fisherman that there is when it comes to those things. And then another one of the guys, I think it was Mike from the Pacific Dawn, were just like commenting about the same problem and wanting the exact opposite things, and both of those guys seeing equal success. And what I was getting at was, like, there was a lot, just like you said, Pete, there's been a lot of days this year where there's a lot of, like, bites and blow-ups and misses. And Mike was saying how he was liking to take those things and put them out as rock-hard frozen as he still could, even though they don't, you know, the bait doesn't fold up as good in a fish. Like, it stays intact so much better that the fish were blowing up two or three times on it and then getting real aggressive, and then would bite one and take it down. And so he was commenting how his fishing was so much better if he could keep that bait as frozen as he could, like, rig it up completely, put it in the freezer, and then send it out that way. And then Terry was saying the exact opposite of, like, man, I like it when it's almost mushy, falling apart, because there's nothing that it can do other than get the hooks. And it was two of arguably the best fishermen talking about the same problem in an exact different way to approach it. And it's just fun, you know, when those things don't give it to you, it's just, you know, you got to figure out your own best solution.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Hey, thanks for that. You want to get through? 213-432-1090. Open right now. Let's jump into the phones.
We got it, bro. Let's talk to Hills. He's caught us in Ventura this morning. What's up, Hills?
And we had a white bonito that we had a sashimi.
Oh, my God.
Fucking great.
Hey, Hills. Good morning.
You're up, Hills.
Hey, hi, it's me.
Oh, hi. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. That white bonita is really good.
Hey. Glad to hear that was
really
such killer sashimi.
Good stuff.
What's up, Hill?
Hey, good morning. Just got back from Rancho Leonero. Man, was it great. I got some friends that fish swordfish out here in Ventura, you know, behind Santa Cruz and Anacapa. And I want to ask Dylan, because what those guys do, and they've each caught them, but I've been a bunch of times seeing guinea. But we had, what they're doing is like a sacrificial weight, you know, like a piece of angle iron or something. And then, but my local tackle shop, Eric, drew me a diagram where you don't throw that weight away. It's a 9-pound thing. You just put a leader off it. Is that how you guys do it, Dylan?
We leave our weights attached. The reason for that is often we're doing so many drops during a day that if you were using sacrificial weights, you know, you would need 12 of them on your boat. And when you're fishing every day or multiple times a week, and guys make them out of rebar and cement and all different things all around the world. And, you know, if you're fishing like one little structure rock, you know, that sacrificial weight got really popular in the Gulf. And they just have a little different fishery than us, and it works great for them. And, you know, maybe in the future we'll try to do something like that.
Is it like a breakaway or something?
They'll put like a piece of rebar, or, you know, they'll make their own weight, and they'll have it like just on a coat hanger on their J hook or their circle hook, whatever. And they'll drop it all the way down to the bottom and bounce it, and it just sheds that way.
Oh, okay. And then the bait stays down there.
Yeah, and they'll have like another 2 or 3 pounder on the line.
I see.
So they can keep their bait down. Like I was saying, if you have a wind shift and you have to wind up and because your drift changed or something, and, you know, you got to reset, you just start blowing through those weights. And it, at this point in our game, it just doesn't seem like it's a great way to access the fishery.
Do you find that having the weight on the line sometimes maybe helps keep the swordfish hooked?
It definitely can. It's taken a lot to get around in my head having a 10-pound sinker attached to your leader.
Right.
But certainly a lot of times that fish feels that 10-pound sinker, and you actually go slack. The fish swims the sinker up. And then, absolutely, you have 10 pounds plus all the drag from the line and leader and everything in the water. So there might
keep the line tight.
15 pounds of pressure or more on that hook. So, it's definitely keeping that hook engaged for the first part of the battle.
It's one of the things that I like so much, and that's one of the things I respect so much about Dylan, you know, figuring this stuff out, is a lot of the information that exists, you know, and everybody does their own research their own ways, but a lot of the information that exists and how to go get them is stuff from the East Coast and from the Gulf Coast, and a lot of what Hills is talking about, the sacrificial weight stuff, just because that's what makes sense for them in their fishery. And it seems like the way we catch them here is similar, but it's definitely a little bit different. You know, a lot of those bites are on the bottom or very close proximity to the bottom, where, you know, you're dropping a weight down and it just comes off and it's no big deal. But, you know, it's not always the same here. Like Dylan was saying, if you're fishing in way deep water, but you're keeping your bait at 1,000 feet, you know, sometimes you'd be dumping half the line off the reel just to get the sinker off and then coming halfway back up again. And it's just the rigging, the most information is written about areas that are a little bit different than what we do here.
For sure. Yeah, because that's where it kind of started. It's kind of a new fish. It's a new fishery here.
It's really cool. It's taken off and gone all over the world. There's guys doing it successfully in New Zealand, Australia, Chile, and like everyone has their own little take on it and has adopted it and evolved it to their unique fisheries. And we're doing the same here right now. We're in the process of that, and I just feel like we have a lot to grow, you know,
totally,
globally, but especially here.
For sure. Hey, great text here. Thanks a lot for the call, Hills. Good question.
Glad you enjoyed that white bonita.
Yeah, for sure.
Sounded like it was killer.
Yeah. Ralph and Menifee writes on our text, which you can only text through the Let's Talk Hookup app, of course. Easy to do, easy free download on the App Store or the Google Play Store. Hey, great show. My question for Dylan is, I'm still in search of a legal white sea bass. And, of course, we know that Bite Sport Fishing specializes in white sea bass, too. I've caught several shorts, sometimes even back-to-back. Do you think the smaller model fish move in with the big boys? Also, any tips that I can implement in the local San Diego waters that might help me get over the hump and catch my legal white sea bass?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
Yeah.
You know, year to year, sometimes the fish are kind of schooled up in, like, straight big ones or mixed grade. As far as wanting to get one in San Diego, I would say get your free diving stuff together. Those guys do pretty good on it, you know, when it's around and they have good tabs on it. But, I mean, it seems like you have a better opportunity of getting, you know, that nice grade fish up in the Channel Islands or Catalina.
Yeah.
This year, there was some really good fishing up in the Channel Islands for really big ones. So,
yeah.
Every year, it's been a little bit different, just like all our fisheries.
It's more of an incidental catch here in San Diego versus you can actually target them in the Channel Islands, Catalina.
There's been some times where there's, like, squid nests down here, and we've been able to target them down here and stuff. But honestly, if he's getting short ones, he's in the game and he's doing the right things, and it's just a matter of time. Just stay patient and grind, and you'll get that legal one.
Yeah.
I would say if he's in San Diego and targeting fish there, you know, one place that just doesn't get fished nearly, an area that doesn't get fished nearly as many as others do and holds a lot of sea bass, is just that, like, southern coastal Imperial Beach area. Like, man, just go there and stay there and learn that fishery and fish a lot, and there's a lot of fish caught there with mackerel, and not necessarily the most specialized techniques. A lot of guys pick off a sea bass while they're drifting for halibut and things like that. And I just think went there and made all of your trips there, I bet you would figure that out.
Find
the structure and catch fish on the pipe and catch fish on the kelp lines. And if you dedicated your time, you'll get
good
that
spot.
Done, no doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including more of your phone calls and texts. We're having a great time with Dylan Reed from Bite Sport Fishing. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check powayvalleycollision.com.
Hey guys, this is Ali Husseini from Local Knowledge and Beattie Outdoors. I'm a lucky guy in so many ways, and one thing I'm really grateful for is my little brother, Yosef. Yosef is not only a fellow angler, but he's also an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find the ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free no-obligation evaluation online now by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. That's SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address, and you'll get a home value report immediately sent to your email. No pressure, no obligations, just answers. Yosef is the SoCal real estate go-to guy. He's helped me and so many of my fellow fishing buddies find what they're looking for in a home. He knows anglers and he understands the real estate market. Not only that, but he's also a really nice guy. How many brothers can you say that about? Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and find out where you stand in the real estate market and then get with Yosef and find your ultimate home. Again, go to SoCalHomeEval.com and we'll see you on the water.
Offshore fishing is on. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. The saltwater tackle professionals. For bluefin tuna and yellowtail, nothing beats the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. Shimano Speedmaster 2 is also an extremely durable, high-performance lever drag reel for the more budget-minded angler. Both the Talica and Speedmaster 2 feature Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest of load. For all your Shimano, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
There are plenty of boat slips and marinas in San Diego, but there's only one Kona Kai. It's not just a place to park your boat. It's a way of life here in America's finest city. The Kona Kai Resort Spa and Marina has multiple swimming pools and a private beach, waterfront restaurants, and award-winning spa, most of which is included for marina tenants. Check ResortKonaKai.com for more information. The Kona Kai Resort, much more than just a place to park your boat.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're having a great time here this morning, talking fishing, staying hunkered down in the storm of the century that is just, man, so look at it. When we started the show, the flag wasn't moving, and now it's kind of moving a little
maybe
bit.
Ten yeah, knots, maybe
no, not 10.
No,
not 10, so nothing like that.
We had a little bit of rain earlier, but, you know, not much.
Yeah, we're having fun here this morning.
But we got to be careful because it could come.
Totally. It's going to. You know,
it's coming at some point.
I think we all.
But I don't think it's going to be what it was.
We can't
what the news media
was. That's what I was going to say. Like,
yeah.
I think that none of us can help but, like, be a little facetious of it because, like, you turn on the news and, like, man, you know, the guys in the raincoat and telling you better stock up on fuel and canned goods, man, because this is it. Like, you know, when you hear somebody mention it so much the other way, you can't help but, like, snicker about it. But
now, in the mountains, it could be a different story. The deserts, it could be a different story. I mean, flooding and stuff like that. And you look at the track. I mean, we as fishermen track storms all the time, right?
We look at
windy, we watch all the different weather things, and we kind of know. I mean, just looking at that thing, tracking it up here, it seems like a lot of the wind is going inland and a lot of the rain and stuff like that. But we'll see, right?
Storms are
unpredictable.
Even if it blows 25 from the south, I mean, I don't want to be in that. That sucks.
No. And that's why we, out of caution, of course, we had the two-day Liberty trip that was leaving tonight. They canceled it. But trips are going tomorrow.
Yeah, so, it's just better safe than sorry.
Like that Independence trip. Like, I'll be on that trip.
Yeah.
10 a.m. tomorrow morning, a day and three quarters. I can't believe there's still a couple of spots left on that trip, dude. Day and three quarters on the Independence. Going to fish in flat, calm weather wherever the tuna are biting.
That sounds
and,
rad.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun trip.
No doubt. Well, as you can hear, we've got a great show going on this morning. Lots of great fun. Again, if you want to join us, there's only one line that's still open if you want to get a chance to talk to Captain Dylan. 213-432-1090. As promised, it's time to find out what's biting out there. It is time for the Catch Report. Summer is here, and gas prices are just going up, up, up. So now, more than ever, you need Summit Gasoline at a San Diego Sports Arena. Pull up to their brand newly expanded Summit Gasoline and get the low, low gas and diesel prices for your car, truck, and your boat. They now can accommodate 24 cars and trucks to fuel at the same time, plus 12 diesel pumps. You can get 100 pounds of free ice. Go in, say hi to Martha and the friendly staff at Summit Gasoline. Free ice for Let's Talk Hookup listeners, and always the low prices for fuel at the San Diego Sports Arena, that Summit Gasoline. Let's head on up the coast over to Dana War Sport Fishing. Talk to the man, Captain Brian Woolley, on the line. What's up, Woolley?
Hey, good morning, guys. What's happening? You guys holding it together down there?
Oh, yeah.
We're amazingly enough.
Yeah, we are.
Surviving.
Yeah, I hope you're all right. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, hey, a good week for us here locally and at the island and offshore. Our water temps, I don't know if it's the same down there, but we took a pretty significant hit at the beginning of the week. We took like an 8 to 10 degree hit water temps. So you can, you know, figure out kind of how our week went just based on that condition alone. So half day and three quarter day, you know, our bass program was a little slow this week as a result of that cooler water, but the fish that we were catching on the live baits and the lures and whatnot, the live bait approach was like at the bottom on the reverse dropper loop type deal. A little bit on the rubber lure kind of mid water, but the fly line action at the surface was just a little off this week. So we're hoping that some of that dynamic changes here a little bit, but with the guys fishing the baits at the bottom, you know, some nice sheephead, a few nice halibut, some stuff that, you know, you typically would imagine you'd see with those baits down there near the bottom. Over at Catalina, late trip this week, LSL, 20 to almost 40-pound fish over there for, you know, a couple shots for some of our guys there. Got live sardine fish vests for those guys, and the bass fishing over there didn't seem to, you know, take too much of a hit. The water temps over there were kind of steady. High 60s, so that bass wanted to bite along with some bonito and barracuda over there. Sorry, I lost my spot here. As far as the Clemente, they've been over at Catalina, and then at Clemente, sorry, the Fury had some good fish in there, fly line bait on those yellowtail. A couple shots of some bonito and some barracuda, just kind of status quo over there. And then on the tuna grounds, the Fury had a good two-day trip with limits of bluefin for those animals. What's cool about that two-day trip is this was the Laguna Woods Rod and Gun Club. So by the name, right, older, seasoned anglers, they put the wood to that that bluefin over there. And then Christian over there on the Lexi, some bigger grade bluefin, catches some good ones in the triple-digit range, along with some yellows at the island as well. So we're at the dock today. We'll be back at it. I think tomorrow I'm out of town for a couple days, but I think those guys got it handled. And we'll be back to kind of business as usual as we push through a new week. So if you guys want to hop on a trip, our number here, 949-496-5794, or you can hit us on the web at danawharf.com.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Willie.
Enjoy. You're taking a little vacation.
Well, I'm dropping the daughter off at college, actually. We're up here in northern Utah getting ready to drop her off at school. So I drove through some rain yesterday that, if that hits down there, it was pretty gnarly. But totally unrelated to that storm, just typical mountain, desert style rain. But it was coming down here, so I think you guys are gonna be all right down there, though.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for taking time out of your voyage out there to give us a call and give us an update there. And safe travels. Enjoy your couple of days with your daughter, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Good luck, Willie.
All right, guys. Thanks, guys. See ya.
All right. Thanks. Safe travels. All right. Hey, Paul Strasser is on the line from the Independence. Good morning, Paul.
What's up, Paul?
Well, good morning, guys. I would have called earlier, but I was just in the middle of weighing up our jackpot. Our first place went to Edward Kolnick. He had a 137. Now, these fish have all been gutted. You can probably add another 10 pounds to them or so, but 137 was first, 133 was 0.5 was second, 133 was third. So the bigger fish are all in that same group range. And these were all nighttime fish on the bluefin. Although we did just come off an 8-day trip. We did fish the Baja Coast. We had excellent big yellowtail fishing anywhere from 22 to 30 pound fish. And then we ran down to the ridge where we loaded up on that 25-pound great yellowfin along with more yellowtail, ran out to the rocks. We got some wahoo out there along with some more tuna, and I made the decision to travel north because we have to go north anyways to the bluefin grounds. And, man, we made a heck of a bluefin count. We had 62 fish for yesterday.
Oh, nice round, day.
30 of, yeah, at least 40 of the fish were all over 100. Rest were like that. 50 to 75-pound range. Very good fishing. We just got done unloading. We got a day and three-quarter day trip leaving tomorrow around 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock. I don't, time, what did it leave? 9 or 10?
10 o'clock is where I...
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, yeah, because I'm getting on
the boat. So we leave at 10. Yeah, exactly.
Are you on the boat, Paul?
No, no. Brian will be back. Brian will be back.
Brian's
it's a 10 o'clock departure. We do have some more. We have like a few more spots on it. If you guys want to jump on it, we're going to be back Wednesday morning. We do have some spots opened up. Just want to check my website at independenceportfishing.com, and you'll see there's a few here and a few there coming up in the fall here. We have a few 7-day trips and a few 10-day trips. But, man, it's fishing time. And the weather's not bad now. It's going to be – we'll have a little bit of wind, a little bit of rain, but it's going to all go away by tomorrow morning. It should all dissipate to almost no wind for your trip.
It's supposed to be flat outside where most likely we'll be headed on the Independence, but it's a big boat, so it can take whatever goes on. Hey, I was really surprised to see there were a couple spots left. So boat leaves at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning and comes back Wednesday morning, right?
Yes, Wednesday morning. And, I mean, the fish are biting, so you might as well jump on it, you know.
Yeah.
It's one thing predicting in the future, but you know the fish are biting.
Fish are biting, and this storm is not going to – how do you foresee this storm changing anything out there, or is it just such a volume of bluefin?
Yeah, there's a lot of fish out there, and they're not going anywhere. They haven't gone anywhere in 3 to 4 years. You know, we're not fishing these fish commercially with the purse seiners. These fish have nowhere to go. There's a lot of food. And the water, they don't care if the water is a little warm or cold. They're living out here. And, all we have to do is just relocate them. And they haven't ran away from us too far. You know, we got enough folks to relocate any school of fish, no matter what direction it goes.
And it's nighttime and daytime fish, right, Paul?
Nighttime and daytime. We had 29 big ones at night. And then the daytime, the fish get a tad smaller, anywhere from 30 to 70 pounds. We would have some bigger
fish all day and then sleep all night. I like that idea. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're fishing heavy tackle at night, so it's not a big. The weather was so calm yesterday, I couldn't fly a kite. Okay. Wow. It was blowing 1 to 2 miles an hour. We couldn't get the kites up. And so that's why I don't think we had any really big fish in the daytime. But there are big fish out there, don't get me wrong. And that's a big awesome. Spreader fish, too.
What a great trip you guys had, man. Nice move, and you certainly made some great decisions on that one for your guys.
Yeah, and the yellowtail, man, I hit a spot on the coast, and they were all quality fish. They were none of those 14-pounders. They're all that 22- to 28-pound fish. It was just beautiful fishing.
Wow.
And, but we didn't. We got a lot of fish there, but I had to save some tags for the ridge, and the ridge was phenomenal fishing down there, you know.
Oh, so it bodes well for the fall trips, which you said you still have some openings?
Yes, we do have some openings on the fall trips. And being that I'm not behind my computer, you can just get online on independentsportfishing.com. You'll see that for yourself, how many spots are open. And if you're interested, give Michelle a you can book online, obviously, but you can give Michelle a call at 619-226-6006, and she'll answer the phone there. And
she's going to be working in the office today. If you want to book that day and three quarter tomorrow.
Oh, of course. Yeah, she's here right now going over all the stuff.
Yeah, for sure. All right, great. Well, I'm looking forward to going fishing with you tomorrow and the guys on the Independence, and looking forward to that. And thanks for the report. What a phenomenal trip.
Nice job, Paul.
Appreciate that, Paul.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great show.
All right. Thanks a lot. Yeah,
again, bye-bye.
If you want to join us on that, just independentsportfishing.com. Like Paul said, there's a couple spots left tomorrow. It's the timing. I don't know. It could be better, right? They're biting. And the weather's supposed to be good.
So. Might have a little hurricane flu.
Yeah, you
come
know.
Come join you here this
come on. Yeah, for sure.
Hey, well, while we're waiting for the continuation of our catch report, I had a great text come through for Dylan, and this one says, there are many ways to rig your squid. Dylan, do you like to rig your hook in the body or more near the fluke end? Also, do you prefer J-hooks or circle hooks? That's Randy Wood in Costa Mesa.
Oh, Randy. Guys, Mr. Bait Tank himself.
Guys know something about some baits.
Yeah.
A bait, a light, 1,000 feet.
That's your deal.
That's what we know. As far as rigging, man, it's hard. We've tried a lot of different things. They all work. You know, I'm not a huge fan of circle hooks. I kind of would like to experiment with it more. I just have more confidence in Js, so I fish Js.
How big a J?
Usually about an 11-aught, depending on the size of the bait. You know, if it's a bigger bait, maybe even a 12-aught, smaller bait.
And what pound test are you fishing?
We usually have 80-pound on the braid and down to a 250 or 300-pound wine non-leader. And
mono, plus, fluorocarbon?
Mono, yeah. Mono. Just I don't think the fluorocarbon's necessary because it's pitch black down there anyway. Yeah. But as far as, like, you know, where to put the hook in the bait, you know, I've seen people put a circle hook, like, all the way at the top of the mantle, like, outside of the bait, and then be really successful. And then all the way through the bait and down in the head and be really successful. And I think if you get the right fish that's hungry and it commits to the bait, it's going to eat it regardless, and you're probably going to get a hook up. In my experience, I just like to make sure that my bait's together and
sew it up.
I was going to ask you, how important is that part? Sewing the head to the body? And
you know, the commercial guys do a real slapshot job of it. Some of them, you know, just barely a zip tie or something to keep it kind of together, and they have great success that way. You know, for me to take the extra step and kind of sew it up, and that way it holds together more when the fish is attacking it. I don't know if it makes a difference, but I'm going to take that extra.
Makes you feel better.
Yeah, it makes me feel better about fishing it. I've wound in a few baits that, you know, the heads come off and it's just the tube. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think, well, if that bait had held together, would I still have, you know, maybe resulted in a committed bite? I don't know, but we're trying to figure that out, and that's why it's such a cool thing to be a part of.
I don't think it's possible to describe it over the radio, but are you sewing the hook into the bait and the head to the body, or is it just the head and the body, and you just pin the hook on? Like,
I mean,
I don't want you to give away your secrets, and it's tough to describe.
Yeah,
but.
We like to make sure that the hook is secured to the bait.
Mm-hmm.
In some means, you know, sewing, zip ties.
Sure.
I pretty much...
Something to hold it on.
I sew. It takes forever. It takes me like 30 minutes to rig a bait, you know, and it's a pain in the butt. And what I would say to anybody that's going to go out and give it a legit shot is don't go out with baits that aren't rigged. Because you end up sitting there for the first 30, 40 minutes of your day trying to rig your baits.
That's a great tip.
Take the time, rig your baits in your garage at home, whatever you got to do, have, you know.
Or buy the pre-rigged baits.
Buy the pre-rigged baits. They sell them online in a number of different
places. They sell them at Fisherman's Landing Tackle.
Yeah, they do.
Fisherman's got them.
Yeah. Dana Landing sells them. Yeah.
And, go out there prepared, and, you know, that way, I don't know how many times it's happened, your first drop, boom, your float lays over, and it's a bit, and then it comes off, and you go to wind in all your gear, and your bait's just destroyed. And you want to get a bait right. You're
what
on
a
fish.
Good call that is.
You've got to get back down there.
And you
So now you got to decide to hastily rig it or wait a half hour to get it done right. Man, what a good call
you
that is.
You want to be able to crimp a bait on and go. So whenever I fish, I usually have like 6 or 8 baits pre-rigged, ready to go.
And the leader on the baits that you're pre-rigged, how long is that leader?
I only like to fish like a 4 or 5 foot leader
to a swivel.
Yeah,
okay.
And I don't do clips. I just do all crimps. That comes, again, from the guys who've been doing this the longest in Florida. It's just less opportunities for something to get jammed up, kinked, tangled. Just trying to keep it refined and as little tangle possibility as possible. But to be able to just crimp and go, you know, on a new bait. And the reason we do the short leaders is that way you can get the fish to gaffle
right
without leadering it. Yeah, you can get it without jamming the swivel on the tip of the rod.
Gotcha. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Greg Stotesbury did a great video on sewing up baits for swordfish on our YouTube channel. Let's Talk Hookup Radio Show is the YouTube channel. You can link it on our Let's Talk Hookup website. Greg Stotesbury shows step-by-step how to do the sew-up and the rigging. Pretty simple, but there is a procedure to it.
Totally.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good YouTube videos.
Yeah.
From guys all around the world,
yeah.
And they each have their own take on it, on how they do it, and
everybody's different, right?
Totally, and I've been paying attention to how those, you know, different personalities have been rigging their baits.
Yeah,
trying to
I'll
just
bet.
pay attention.
Refine your own personal life.
Sure, exactly, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, we want to remind you, summer is here, although it doesn't exactly feel like it today. And although today might not be a great day to go down to the beach, this week coming up is going to be really nice. And for all your surf fish tackle needs, check out surffishtackle.com. Again, surffishtackle.com for additional tips, techniques, and articles on fishing the surf. Check out fishthesurf.com. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including more of your phone calls and texts, a whole other hour with Captain Dylan. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Cool. Are you passionate about fishing and the great outdoors, but not quite sure where to go? Look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris in pristine British Columbia, Canada. Hello, this is Valerie Hopewich. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure. A few of the highlights of fishing in protective, calm waters. Very important. Quality snook salmon run all season long. After you've caught your salmon, we're going to go out for the great Pacific halibut, lean cod, rockfish, and Dungeness crab. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Single Bay and Sandspit, and it's so easy to get to. Fly from almost any airport into Vancouver and then on to Sandspit. Fish processing, your fishing license, your gear, all included. Just bring that fishing arm and that smile. Let our chef pamper you with amazing meals while our staff gives you wonderful hospitality, all included in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. Give me a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-815-2892, or go to our website, qcsafaris.com.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150, available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
This is Captain Brandon Nelson from Lucky Bee Sport Fishing. Our dynamic fishery here on the West Coast is home to some of the most iconic game fish that swim the salty world. We demand tools designed to perform flawlessly and deliver the upper hand in any situation. That's why I use and recommend the all-new G. Loomis IMX Pro Offshore series of rods. It's a full lineup of purpose-built 20 to 80 pound class rods. I have been fortunate enough to be working with G. Loomis on the IMX Pro for some time to help develop the actions we need here on the West Coast. And they nailed it. The G. Loomis multi-taper design technology adds material where the blank is likely to fail and subtracts material where it won't. A seed guide train and Fuji reel seat complement a battle-on grip that offers extreme fatigue-fighting comfort. They have been helping my passengers on Lucky Bee Sport Fishing land some amazing fish, and now they are ready for you. The new G. Loomis IMX Pro Offshore Rod Series at your local Shimano or G. Loomis dealer.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year, and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check it out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
During Yamaha's Summer Sunset Sales event, get up to 5 years warranty coverage on a boat package with eligible new 30 to 300 horsepower outboards. Make that 6 years with the Siren 3 Pro package, or get up to 7 years on a boat package with eligible 425 horsepower outboards. Purchase an eligible 2.5 to 25 horsepower model and receive up to a $300 dealer credit. Visit your Yamaha dealer today.
Offer in September 8th, subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models exclude 24-month Yamaha extended service added to factory. Limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24-month limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.